This is an EB5 Investment Voice special report update. Hey, Mona. Hey, Rebecca. I hear it's pretty bad in New York City right now.
Yes, Mark, it is bad. But without alarming folks, there are ambulances everywhere. The streets are deserted. Well, people here are really taking this very seriously.
Yes, as we know, Mona, all too well, and not trying to be depressing, but New York's numbers are very scary. We're at 150,000 cases compared to the next highest, with New Jersey at only 25,000.
Yeah, so the point of this is that the press are reporting all of this, of course, and as a result, we are getting a crazy amount of texts and emails from investors overseas and in the US, investors who have invested into New York City projects and other projects around the country. So what we thought would be an interesting thing to do at this particular time is, and especially as people are sitting at home and worrying, is to have a special podcast whereby we'll be speaking to many different EB5 projects, some in New York and some elsewhere, just to see how they are faring during this difficult time and hopefully really putting investors' minds at ease. Stay tuned. It will be coming up.
Yes, Mona, I know I will be really interested in wanting to know what's really happening out there. And we do have a lot of work cut out for us.
We do.
But keeping with the same subject, the CARES Act.
The CARES Act. But Rebecca, what is the CARES Act?
The CARES Act is the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Securities Act, which was passed by Congress on March 27th, and it encompasses initiatives and programs to help businesses with what they really need right now. So what do they need? Payroll and rent.
Yeah, well, for anybody who hasn't heard of this, which I'm sure there isn't, it's a $2 trillion stimulus, the first of a few that we are told.
Yeah. So within the stimulus package, some of the programs out there are Paycheck Protection Program, the Economic Injury Disaster Loans, Emergency Grants, and Small Business Debt Relief. So, Mona, $2 trillion is a lot of money. I'm really wondering how many countries can actually afford this type of cash injection. So we'll see that in the coming months. But I think, Mona, as many developers and investors are asking, can this apply to EB5 projects?
Yeah, that's the big question that we are being asked. Can this CARE Act, does it, if you have an EB5 project, if you're an entrepreneur with your own project or a regional center with projects, can you rely on the CARE Act? Well, we have read the CARE Act very carefully and we've been working with other lawyers. We've been listening to different podcasts and experts on the field. And quite frankly, we haven't read or seen any restrictions. It is a U.S. business employing U.S. workers. So the consensus thus far is that, yes, you can use anything which you can get out of the CARE Act. If there are any experts out there who want to contradict me, please feel free to contact us. We would be happy to air your opinion.
Thank you, Mona and Rebecca, for that update on the CARE Act. You've also both been receiving quite a few questions lately, haven't you?
Right. So, Rebecca, I know you have got a number of answers to some of the questions that we've been receiving because many of our clients and investors, they want to know what's happening at this time as USCIS have temporarily suspended all its in-person services at their field offices. But they are still working, I believe. So, Rebecca, USCIS, they are still working?
Yes, they are working. As you mentioned, they have suspended all in-person services. But as the IPO, the Immigrant Investor Program Office, does not interact with the public, they will continue to adjudicate I-526 petitions and I-829 petitions. In addition, I-485 petitions for those who have adjustment of status petitions pending, they will also be processed.
Well, that's important because I know it's you're getting bombarded with all adjustment of status questions. What about appointments to be rescheduled? Are they rescheduling them?
Yes. So they are rescheduling appointments. And at first, they were rescheduling for after April 7th, but recently they extended that date now to May 3rd.
Right. But I think USCIS did mention that any individual, obviously, who still feels sick, regardless of whether or not they have been exposed to the virus, is not to come to the appointment and that they would reschedule it again. So that's locally. What about at the consulate?
So consulates around the globe and embassies have suspended routine immigrant and non-immigrant visa services as of March 20th, 2020, but will still provide emergency and mission-critical visa services.
What does that mean for EB-5 investors? Because I don't believe EB-5 investors come up under mission-critical.
No. So unfortunately, for EB-5 investors that are overseas, they will have to wait for the consulates to reopen in order to go in for their interviews and claim their visas. But for those who are in the U.S., we can continue to process the I-45 petitions to adjust status.
What about Chart B filings, Becky?
So unfortunately, as of April 1st, USCIS did close Chart B. And so we had a big rush before April 1st to get all those in. But this
So that's what you were doing at the office when you weren't supposed to be at the office.
Yes. Don't tell anyone. But this really mainly affects China, as India's priority date under Chart A is actually current, and so are all the other countries.
So depending how long the U.S. consulates and embassies stay closed, that means that visas, are they still being issued to investors overseas, or are they going to be allocated to investors in the U.S.?
So luckily for those who are in the U.S., they're going to get all those visa numbers, as those are overseas is kind of at a pause or a standstill at the moment.
What about E2 visas?
So we had actually a lot of E2 cases pending as well. Our office did make quite a few inquiries. It's important to note that Barbados, for instance, is not accepting any filings. But the London Embassy stated that petitions can be filed because a lot of them are done electronically. So your DS-160 and supporting documents are done both electronically. However, they are warning investors that there are going to be processing delays.
Delays, Rebecca, as if we didn't need it anymore. Okay, next question. Relating to requests for further evidence and NOIDs, Notice of Intention to Deny.
USCIS, Mona, is giving some flexibility. For applicants and petitioners who receive an RFE or a NOID dated between March 1st and May 1st of 2020, any responses submitted within 60 calendar days after the response date, so that means the due date, will be considered by USCIS before any action is taken.
Well, I have 2 points on that. The first is that you're talking about dates between March 1st and May 1st. And the second is the fact that a NOID only allows you 30 days.
Yeah, so any of those that were sent by USCIS prior to March 1st, I can understand RFEs. You're giving a lot more time. But when it comes to NOIDs, that 30 days, it's really hard. And I think USCIS needs to give case-by-case look at it.
Right. I think they should actually have gone back to the beginning of February, or as you say, case by case. So yeah, we can only just write, and I know we have been.
Yeah, but I think hopefully the adjudicators, once you're sending in your response, and again, if you're working with cases that are from the Far East, where this was taking place since January, they will give some leniency at that time.
So a little advice to people out there, if your client or if you are located in countries like India or China or wherever you're unable to get to documents, document that in your response. There is a discretionary element that USCIS must look at. And if it's within their discretion, hopefully they will give you that extra leniency. Speaking of which, Rebecca, USCIS has shown some leniency for the requirement for original signatures. Because don't you require original signatures for certain forms?
Yes, for all immigration forms, you have to have original or what they consider wet signatures submitted to USCIS.
Yes, they are pretty strict about the original signatures. So what are USCIS accepting now?
So luckily, USCIS is accepting electronic signatures for the duration of the national emergencies. But please, please be aware that they still may request your original documents.
So what are you suggesting? That we still get the client to mail them in?
Yes. So it may not be exactly at this time, but please do mail in your original signatures.
Okay, good advice. One last question, Rebecca. And I know you've done a lot of research on this one and called around lots of different airports, etc. ESTA extensions. Now, ESTA is the visa waiver program, which is allowed for some countries, but you are not allowed to have an extension on this if you've come into the country with a ESTA visa.
No, but there is what you call satisfactory departure, which is usually handled with USCIS if you have an emergent situation where you cannot depart the U.S. prior to your expiration date. So at this time, though, CBP, which is the Customs and Border Patrol, is also granting 30-day extensions if your stay expires 14 days or less. If you arrived in the JFK or Newark airports, you can contact the Deferred Inspections Office directly. You don't even have to go in personally. But unfortunately, for all the other ports of entry, you do have to go in personally and ask for those extensions.
Great. Thank you, Rebecca. That's all good advice. And if anyone who's listening has any pointers that we may have missed out, and it's important that everybody else knows about it, this is the purpose of these special podcasts. They're not like our usual podcast, and we're doing them almost live, as with all warts and all, no time for editing. But if anybody has anything that they want to bring out, please, please email, text us, contact us in some way. At least all of those mediums are all still working, and we would love to put it on one of these special podcasts. Rebecca, I think we're almost done.
I don't think so, Mona. Well, last week, you had an exciting conversation with Bob Kraft, the president of IAUSA, about the possibility of adding EB-5 to the stimulus bill. What are we seeing today?
Oh, we're back to that topic. Well, I have seen a lot of articles and forum discussions for both for and against the idea of adding EB-5 as a stimulus. It was added back in 2008, and we've discussed this many times as to why it was brought in 2008, and that's what people are looking to now. So what are we seeing out there? Interestingly, Bob Dane, he is the executive director, I believe, for FAIR, which is an acronym for the Federation of American Immigration Reform. He published an interesting article which did discuss this. He did mention, and we didn't notice this before, that half of EB-5 recipients come from China, and the expansion proposal, which was brought out last week, has encountered pushback because there's heightened concerns over the coronavirus pandemic that began in the country, which we are going to give more visas to. An EB-5 increase would almost exclusively benefit the Chinese. So that has been one pushback, which isn't really very fair, but unfortunately we've heard it.
But talk of the proposal has created a lot of excitement among the industry players. If this all goes through, we're all going to be very busy.
We would do, but again, it's leading to allegations of or possibilities of misuse and fraud. So what I am reading is that if there is going to be EB-5 introduced, that the first call or the priority should be for some kind of reform and integrity act along the lines of Senator Grassley's bipartisan one. Do you remember the name of that bill, Rebecca?
Oh, yes. We can't forget. It's the EB-5 Reform and Integrity Act, which was S-2540.
That's right. The one which was co-sponsored by Senator Patrick Leahy. That really does focus on preventing fraud and increasing oversight if they could just get the financial parts right. Because if you recall, there was a very hefty penalty and money that each regional center would have to pay. And I think it also put a lot of onus on the regional centers. So regional centers which are renting may have an issue. Anyway, if they could get to something like that, though, we certainly would see accountability measures increase and also ensure that American jobs are, in fact, created by EB-5 investments.
Agreed. And I believe we will speak more on this topic. But before we end, Mona, I'd like to ask, what are your predictions?
My predictions? Well, I know Lindsey Graham did vehemently deny reports about including expansion language in the Senate's coronavirus relief package, but that doesn't mean to say that such legislation is not going to be forthcoming. I'm quite sure we are going to see it in the third or the fourth stimulus bill, as was indicated by Bob last week. But it makes sense because with Trump scrambling to bolster the staggering U.S. economy, and don't forget that his son-in-law Jared Kushner is a prominent influencer of the White House, but he's also somebody who, as a developer, has raised EB-5 money and is somebody likely to support it. So I think this is going to be the right time, rather, for EB-5 to reemerge.
This has been an EB5 special report, and we will share more information with you next time.